is indeed my joy to be with you today. When we think of the love of God, I was thinking about all those names that have been lifted up in prayer. What a joy and peace that we have in this time world, that we serve a God who can not only answer every prayer, but He can supply our every need.
Amen.
And that is such a great benefit that we as His children are blessed to partake of as we sojourn in this time world. I would ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you this morning in a sort of motion to Brother Gary. I will move as the Lord leads, but I trust that He will lead, that you'll be coming up behind me. And
we'll hope you stay right where you are.
We'll see how that works. We'll go to the Gospel of Matthew this morning, chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew. And we just trust in the Lord for our deliverance, for mine and yours, that we all might be made to rejoice this morning. There is not much that we can see in this natural world to rejoice in these days, but when we're blessed to be lifted up and to understand that this natural world, though God has provided us to us, for a season, that is not our home. We're merely just passing through, longing, we trust, for a better home, a home up in the heavens with our Heavenly Father. But while we sojourn here, we do pray that He might bless us to keep our eyes upon Him.
Amen.
And not upon our condition, nor the circumstances that we encounter in this time world. Verse 24 of Matthew chapter 6, it says, "No man can serve two masters." I know we have heard that many times, and we've read it many times, and but you know, sometimes it just escapes us. We just read right over the words. What it means to serve.
Amen.
I mean, what does it mean to serve two masters? You know, that word serve comes from being in servitude, akin to being like a slave. I mean, we have one Lord and Master, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Scripture is telling us is that no man, that includes you, I, and everybody else, are able to serve two masters. Yet we would sometimes in our nature contend that we can. We call it all kinds of things. We call it multitasking, and you know, sometimes if you go, you think take a natural circumstance, go into a restaurant, for instance, okay, and you got someone waiting on you, and all of a sudden another party comes in, and you want your waiter to come back over here. I mean, you don't have time, but he's trying to serve you. He's trying to serve somebody else. And brethren, sometimes that word service, it sort of goes over our head, and we try to equate those natural things with our service to the Lord our God, and you can't do that. The ideal that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master, that means that we belong to Him.
Amen.
We don't belong to ourselves. He has bought and He has paid for us with His precious blood on Calvary's cross. And to think that we can somehow multitask in our service to God and our service to others or self or this world, brethren, the Scripture tells us that no man can do that.
Amen.
That no man, even though we might be duped into thinking that we can. You know, you think about Satan. You think about Eve and how she was so easily beguiled. And we sat back from afar and says, "Oh, why did you do that? I mean, why did you listen to that?" Well, what do you think we do every single day of our lives? We're so easily beguiled, being led to think that we're doing all these things for the Lord. What does the Lord require of us? I mean, brethren, don't forget the example we get in the Old Testament with Saul. I mean, Saul called himself doing those things that God sent him to do. But what did that old prophet tell Saul? No, you didn't.
Right.
You did what you wanted to do. And Saul said, well, it was because of the people. Well, brethren, when we do it, who do we say it was because of?
Right.
I mean, it's always because of somebody else, but we never take responsibility that it is thee, O Lord, that I have transgressed against. It doesn't fall on anybody else. It stops right here. It is we, brethren. When Scripture says, no man, he's talking to me. He's talking to me personally, brethren. And he's talking to each one of us. Don't look at your brother and says, oh, why, what about him? But brethren, fall on our knees before a merciful God and ask him to have mercy on us.
Amen.
That we indeed might live rightly. That we indeed might do those things that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And Scripture says that for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And what is God telling us here in our answer to our natural thoughts? He's telling you, if you think you can do that, then what you're doing in reality, you're loving one and hating the other, or beholding one. Holding one is very precious, and despising the other. No man can serve God and mammon.
Amen.
You know, brethren, we are servants of the Most High God. We're not servants of this world. You know, but we say, well, God put us in this world for... but brethren, if we serve the Lord our God, then there's nothing that we need to be concerned about, because he supplies our every need. There is nothing that God's children need in this time world that our Heavenly Father is not able to supply to us. Man, we so easily said, well, what about I need this and I need that? Brethren, it doesn't matter what the need might be. God is God and Jesus is Lord, and he is indeed our all in all, and he supplies all that we need.
Amen.
When the psalmist says that the Lord is my shepherd. Do we know what that means, little sheep? That means, brethren, that he directs our lives in every aspect. Not some of it. Not the part that we want him to. Oh, not on a Sunday morning when we come to the meeting. But every single day of our lives, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in our homes, our families, and our relationships, it doesn't really matter what it is. He is Lord of all. And brethren, he is our Lord and Master. And to deny that, brethren, is to deny him. As simple as that. Anyone says, well, I wouldn't deny the Lord. Well, brethren, it's easier said than done.
It is.
It's easier to say I wouldn't do that. Because even the apostle said to us that even when I would do good, I find that evil is always present, and I find myself not doing that which I would desire to do, but doing that which I don't want to do. That is the nature of sin in our lives, brethren. We're sinful creatures, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we have that old nature that we will contend with, brethren, until we wrap it out of this world.
Right.
It'll be there. And to deny that it's there, brethren, is simply burying our heads in the sand and denying that sin is all around us. Because it is. And he goes on, he says, therefore I say unto you, he says, take no thought for your life. What does that mean? Why shouldn't I think about my life is mine? I mean, why shouldn't I worry about my life? I mean, right. This is all I got here is my life. So why shouldn't I worry? Well, God said, let's take no thought for it. Why does he tell us not to take thought for it? Because if we look to him, brethren, he will supply your life with all that it needs here. I mean, God is not a God, he's not like us. He's not a God who just spats off words to have words. Brethren, God's word is holy, and God himself is holy and just. And brethren, the scripture would say, if there's any doubt in your minds, let God be true. And let every man be a liar. Brethren, we cannot look at God and expect to understand him with our own natural minds. Scripture says that his wisdom and his thoughts are so high, brethren, that we cannot attain unto them. We cannot jump high enough. There is not a plane that's going to lift us up from this world high enough, brethren, that we're going to attain the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord our God. So when God says, take no thought for your life, he means that exactly that. That doesn't mean that he has cast you away and that he does not care. But he wants you to understand that when you look to him, brethren, there is no uncertainty about anything. It is all in his hands. And he doth deliver his children in this dying world. I don't care what the circumstances is. I don't know what your crisis or what might beset you this hour, but praise be to God, this sinner doesn't need to know that because your Lord, our God, does know. He knows it all. And he is able, brethren, to supply it all to you and not to hold back any good thing for you, brethren. He loves you. The love of God, brethren, we can't even begin to measure. It is so vast. It is so huge that these mortal minds can't even begin to comprehend the magnitude of his love that he has for people. And what a joy we're blessed to have that hope and understanding that we are among those that he loves.
Amen.
Isn't that a great, joy? And he says here that take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Yes, it is. And when we're blessed to partake of his love, we understand the sweetness thereof. And we know that in that love that he has loved us, brethren, that it's able to lift us and bring us into that peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, how many times I've said, you know, what am I going to wear to work tomorrow? Oh, what am I going to wear to church? I wore this last week. I mean, so we take in too much thought on the wrong things. You know, brethren, it doesn't matter what you wear. God has supplied you something to wear. Now, it might be you don't want to wear it. Just like it might be that you don't want to pray today. It might be that you don't want to do a lot of things, you see. But to deny that God has not supplied you, brethren, is to deny him, because he has supplied your every need. And he continues to supply our every need, whatever that need might be. This day and all of your tomorrows, however many days that might be for you or me, he will supply that every need for us. He tells us to behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they.
Amen.
And I have a great deal of respect, you know, to people who love birds and feed birds and stuff like that. But you know, if you're moved to do a good thing, brethren, you give praise and thanks to Almighty God. You see, because God is going to feed those birds. He's going to make sure those birds have what they need, you see. And he says, and what Scripture is telling us, when we look around at God's creation, you look at a little bird who's eating on something, you don't know where it is. To you, it's disgusting because you wouldn't want to eat it. But yet, it nourishes and supplies that little bird with all that he needs. And God is saying that when you look at that, when you look at how small that little bird is, he has created you and I in his own image. So why do we fret? Does not that same God who supplies that little bird his every need, do you think that he would neglect you who he has created in his own image? You that he has loved with an everlasting love? You, brethren, who he sent his own son to die in your stead, who was without sin but became sin for you and I, he, who, his son, that he poured out his wrath on his son. Why? For you? So that you and I might be justified and redeemed unto God? If he has done all that,
yeah.
Why do we doubt that he won't supply our other needs as well? You know, brethren, sometimes I think it's probably because we don't have a real true appreciation for that which he's already done.
Right.
You know, and when we act that way and we carry and live that way, brethren, there's a coolness about us. And when we don't appreciate the love of God, there's not much else you're going to appreciate in this world. I mean, it's all grounded. The love that we have is grounded in his love. And when we think that our lives have no need for that, what do you think? What else would you have need for in this world? We just become cold, isolated,
yeah.
Indifferent, unkind one to another, self-centered, and all those other kinds of natural feelings that we have, simply because we deny he who has loved us with an everlasting love. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? Anybody?
Nope.
Anybody? Well, no, we can't. We cannot. And that's why he says, if you can't do that, and he says, and why take thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. And that's a good one. Consider that. When flowers and all those pretty things come up, how God has adorned those things. And they're just here for a season. Don't you think he's going to take care of you too? I mean, all these many examples that were given here, brethren, is to help us to understand, brethren, that the Lord our God, who has loved you with an everlasting love, will supply you your every need.
Amen.
But don't forget about that adversary out there.
Right.
Who, as quickly as you would walk out of this door, or maybe he's already visited some of you.
Sure.
Who has said, oh yeah, right, okay. I hear you, Brother John. But you don't understand.
Right.
You don't understand what I'm going through.
Sure.
I'm different. You don't understand that, that I believe what you're saying, but you just don't understand my life,
yeah.
And my circumstances. And my circumstances are bigger than what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah, exactly.
Are they really? Are your circumstances bigger than the Lord our God? Is your life greater than his? Is the troubles that you're having this day greater than that which our Savior bore when he went to Calvary's cross? Can you stack it up against that? No, we can't. We can't even come close to doing that. So then, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Yeah. You know, Solomon had all the riches that any man has ever had. Not only that, he had all the wisdom that any natural man had ever had in this world. But yet God said, with all that Solomon had, and all those precious jewels, and all that he was able to clothe himself with, that doesn't even compare with the beauty in which God dresses his own creation. Even the little lily in the field is clothed better than that. Isn't that sweet? So why then? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Do you believe that God is able? Do you believe that God actually does what he says he does? Or is there a doubt in your mind? Oh, he does it for so and so, but he doesn't do it for me. Well, I say we doubt more times than we want to admit, brother. A whole lot more times than we want to even admit.
Amen.
But praise be to God. God is not a doubting God.
No, he is not.
God is faithful. God is faithful, brethren, and our precious Savior was faithful to his Father even unto the death on the cross.
Amen.
You see, brethren, the faith that we live by, brethren, is the faith of the Son of God who died for us, brethren, and redeemed us unto God. That is the faith that we have been given.
Right. Amen.
What a precious faith, you see. So when we're doubting, great is the faithfulness of the Son of God, who will never leave us and who will never forsake us. He says, therefore, take no thought what you shall eat or what you shall drink, wherefore whither shall you be clothed. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things, but seek ye first, not as an afterthought.
Right.
Not, well, if this doesn't work, I'll try that. Not as the unregenerate who know not God. But you, brethren, have been blessed to know the Lord our God. So you seek him first. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things. What are all these things? All these things that this sinner has been talking about. All these things shall be added unto you. Not because you worried about them, or not because you didn't think about God first, but because God is merciful and has loved you with an everlasting love, and he will supply you with all of your needs in spite of you. In spite of our neglect, God is not neglectful. He is not a neglectful God.
Right.
He will supply. He says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Blessed be his name.
Oh, that's good. You don't hear a thing. Yeah. You need your prayers.
It's been a real blessing to be here today. A real blessing to hear from Brother John, and I believe more than just from Brother John. I believe the Lord provided the good news that we've heard from Matthew. And I do pray that the Lord would just be with me. I don't intend to stand before you very long. I do have some thoughts that kind of run in line with some of the things that have already been said, and do ask and interest in your prayers as we make an effort to speak for a little while. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I do encourage you to do that. We're really, really blessed to be able to live in a land where we have the Word of God in print, and we can take it with us and read it. And I certainly encourage you to follow along and read along as ministers stand before you preaching the gospel, because it can do you a great deal of good. And His Word is that which testifies of the living Word, His written Word. And it's given to us by inspiration of God. And it is that which guides us and leads us in our life. It's a light in our life. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And one of the things the old devil would love to do, as Brother John has so clearly pointed out, is he'd like to get us away from that, away from looking to His Word and leaning upon what He has said in His Word, and give us ideas and thoughts that are contrary to that. There's so much that's called good in this world today that is not good. There's so much that's said to be right that's not right. And there are things that are clearly wrong that are being declared right, and vice versa. And as God's little children, it's important for us, if we're living in the world and we're serving the Lord, the way you serve your Lord is not just say, Lord, Lord, and call Him Lord, but to do the things which He says. And He has written to us in His Word the things which He has said. That is all the things we really need to know about. A lot of times I want to know about things that are not written here, and I try to figure out things that are secret things that belong unto the Lord. But what He has revealed to us in His Word is important for us to know. We need to know that. It's one of the reasons it's good to set under the preaching of the gospel. Because when we don't set under the preaching of the gospel, we lose out on the instruction from God's Word, and we lack knowledge and understanding because we haven't been taught. We're to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Now, I have no clue what you're going to face this week. I have no idea what that might be. But I verily believe the Lord has blessed Brother John with a text in his heart that he's presented to us that is helping us not only today, but I believe in that which is going to come. Now, it may not be this week, but it may be next week. Actually, there's so much in what he said that I already got a lot out of it, and I needed it this morning. It's been a great, great benefit and help to me. But have you ever had something preached on Sunday that maybe not have meant so much to you on Sunday, but about Wednesday, you found out, okay, Lord, I see why that text was used and why that minister spoke the way that he did and shared with you the truth. Now, if you're not seeing church that way, you're missing a whole lot of what church is. If you're not seeing it as a place you come to be fed, it's a place you come to thank the Lord. That's so vitally important. Everything you do, have you noticed everything in the Bible is about thanking the Lord? It's if you're praying, it's to thank the Lord. If you're preaching, it's to praise the Lord. It's to thank the Lord. If you're singing together, we teach and admonish one another in songs and hymns and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord. We're thanking the Lord. But it's also a place where God's little children are given that which you need in the way of armor and to stand in the warfare that's going to be our warfare every day as long as we live in this world. We're in a battle. You probably already know that. You're in a battle. We're in a warfare. And we need to know which way to go. We need to know how to stand. We need to know how to hold up. We need to know how to make it in this world. And we don't know that way outside of God's grace and God's direction and His Word, which He has left on record for us. In the Psalms, in chapter 1, we read a language here, and I'm just going to read the first three verses. Encourage you to read all six, which wouldn't take you very long, but we'll read all the first three. He said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that's what the Bible says. And it says what it means and means what it says. I thought as I read these verses this morning, I thought, what man is that that can do that? What man is that that can do that? Blessed can mean many things in the scripture. We know in one place it says, blessed be the God, which means not that God needs a blessing, but that praiseworthy is God. Blessed can mean praiseworthy. And there is a sense in which this can mean praiseworthy. Blessed here can mean praiseworthy. It also can be blessed, one that is blessed of God. And I believe there's also a sense that it means that in this verse as well. And then there's that word happy, which Brother John has laid out a real message of how God's little children find happiness in this world. How are you going to be happy in this world? How are you going to get along in this world? How are you going to find joy and peace? The man that trusts in the Lord is a blessed man, is a happy man. That one who leans upon the Lord, the one who serves the Lord, the one who puts first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto him. Doesn't mean he won't have problems and troubles and trials and conflicts and times of weeping and times of heartache. But there's a happiness that's found in just simply trusting in the Lord. And here he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I'm not going to do this, but if I ask any of you today that had feel like you met that requirement to stand up, I hope there'd be nobody in this congregation that would stand up. I had a little boy one time when I was trying to explain to him what I wanted out of him in my class. I took him outside and I was going to make a good little talk with him, and I looked at him real closely and I laid out what I thought the rules were to him, face to face, up close and personal. And he looked at me and he said, Mr. Utes, I hate to burst your bubble. And I've often thought of that a lot of times as we're preaching to God's little children. If there's anybody here who thinks you have the ability to stand up and say, I'm that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I've never walked in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not ungodly. There's a world that's ungodly. There's people out there going the wrong way, doing the wrong thing, but that's not me. I'm okay. If they would just be like me, everything would be all right. If that's your religion is just show. And I hate to burst your bubble, but that's the truth. The Bible says that Christ came to die for who? The ungodly. Not because we were well, not because we were good, not because we had it right, not because we had freed ourselves from walking in the counsel of the ungodly, but because we were so far removed to him that none were good, no, not one. We could read Romans 3 and lay out in detail our depravity. And there is absolutely in us no hope. Well, then what's this talking about? Does that mean I can't walk for help, but walk in the counsel of the ungodly? No, there was one man who walked not in the counsel of the ungodly. Aren't you glad and thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that our righteousness didn't come by our getting it right, but by his righteousness? And that one who is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And I'm saying to you, blessed is that man. Listen, praiseworthy is he. Praiseworthy I am not. Praiseworthy you are not. You know why? Because none of us by our own power, by our own might, have ever been able to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. This one is the man that's walking, the man that's standing, and the man that's sitting. That almost covers all the places that he might be. Doesn't have lying down, but it's pretty much all of it. And all those things that you would have to do to be blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel or standeth in the way of sinners. How many of us have never stood in the way of sinners? How many times have you been somewhere and you thought, I'm doing pretty good, and the Lord just opened your eyes and let you see, maybe from the light of Scripture, but maybe just from Him speaking in your heart and letting you know by that law He's written in your heart, you have sinned and you've come short of My glory and you've fallen short over and over again. I hope that you understand that this is not about you. It's about what He's done and then what we can do through Him. See, I don't believe it's just about Him. I believe it's about Him, and because of Him, it's about us. Can you see that? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Can I tell you, our Savior never stood in the way of sinners. He never stood where they stood. He walked with them, but He was not among them. He was there for them, and He died for them. He was the friend of publicans and sinners. Aren't you thankful He's the friend of publicans and sinners? Aren't you thankful that He is all that the Bible says that He is, but He never went along with them just to go along? Can any of us say that we didn't go that way? Now, I'll tell you what we can say from the Word of God. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And He says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There are mockers in this world. You know how many people would look at this little congregation today and make fun of it and mock it? Do you know how many people that would take a sermon that Brother John has preached, and he's already laid that out, that sometimes even God's little children, we tend, though we don't think we do, we tend to mock it when we start saying, well, Anna, you don't really know what I'm going through. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Why is it so hard? We even sing, tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be all the day long. We stop sometimes thinking about the wonderful blessings that God has given us and feel like, well, we don't have what we really need. You know what the Bible says? That He is, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, who is the one who was able to do this perfectly? Oh, isn't it good? Jesus came down into this world and took upon Himself a body of flesh, and as a man He walked every single day of His life, not in the counsel of the ungodly, not standing in the way of sinners, and not sitting in the seat of the scornful. He did not sit where the mockers sit, where I've sat. He did not walk in the way, stand in the way of sinners, where I have been. He did not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, which I'm often found to be. He was never in those places. And because He is and was who and was and is who He said He is, and what He did was so wonderful and glorious, that in Him and by Him we can also do these things. He says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. Listen, this is not just about Him. It's about God's little children. In and of the Lord, it is God who worketh in us, is it not? Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And listen, because of Him, though I cannot escape from this captivity that I'm in by the fall that I was in. To see the fall of man. Isn't it good just to hear somebody say something about the fall of men? Because there are so many that deny that very fact. But I'm telling you, when Adam fell, he fell into a state of death. And a state that was irrecoverable by man or any method of man. And all the gospel and doctrines of men would never reach his case. I'm telling you, the true gospel tells us about a Savior who reached down where he was and lifted him out of that dunghill of sin that he was in, and set his feet upon a rock and put a new song in his mouth, so that that little brother, that little sister, that one that's so weak and worthless in and of himself, can now walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, and can not stand in the way of sinners, and can not sit in the seat of the scornful. And that means by the grace of God, we can be what the Lord's called us to be. We can't be Him, but we can be who He would have us to be as we walk out on those promises that are so clearly laid out in that Sermon on the Mount. When we do what? He says this, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. Where's your delight today? Where's your strength coming from? Where's your wisdom? It's in what He said. When I read His Word and I say, yes, He said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, that pretty well settles it. I'm settled with that. I'm finding peace with that. Now surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can rest in that and trust in that. He said for us that man who delights in the law of the Lord and in His law doth he meditate day and night. That means happy is that individual. Blessed is that individual. And listen, there's a blessing that comes, not that you started, but that He gave to you. As a matter of fact, if He hadn't begun that in us, none of us would have gotten out of verse 1. All of us would have been trapped in that captivity. But a strong man came who was stronger than the old devil. And he robbed him of what he owned and what he had. And he bought his people. Not with corruptible things like silver and gold. Isn't it wonderful how the Bible says that? Men die and fight wars for silver and gold. The Bible calls them corruptible things. Compared to what? Compared to the precious blood of Jesus, which He washed us in His own blood and purchased us. We are a peculiar people, which is a purchased people. And as peculiar people, we are then able by the grace of God, and we're blessed by the grace of God to be able not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That means when I hear the ungodly speak, I don't have to go the way they say go. When I see them standing that way, I don't have to. Oh, it is wonderful to help them, but don't go along with them. Have you ever found that little statement, "Birds of a feather flock together"? And it's soon when you're in situations and you're in the kind of a bad crowd. It's like what Mom and Daddy taught us: you run with a bad crowd. The next thing you know, you're going to be doing things that you would have never done otherwise. That's why it's so important for us to find the footsteps of the flock and to gather together with God's little lamb and God's little sheep, who are a different people than the ungodly. Oh, they are ungodly in and of themselves, but one who is greater, who has never had one sin, reached down to the ungodly and washed them in His own blood and put their feet upon a rock and set a new song in their mouth, even praises unto God. And that's what God's little children ought to be about. Our delight ought to be in what? In the law of the Lord. Church ought not be somewhere I have to go. It ought to be the place I go because it's my delight to go there. Listening to the Bible preached ought not be something I have done, but it's my delight in that it teaches me things that this old mind does not know and this old heart will not know. So I won't be conformed to this world, but I'll be transformed by the renewing of my mind that I may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I'll tell you what, that makes a little brother happy. You see these little brothers. I saw Sister Betty yesterday. She was happy. She wasn't happy about having heart surgery. She was happy to have a friend who would be able to take her through that heart surgery. She wasn't happy about the problem she was about to go through with, but she was sure happy she knew one greater than her problem and one more than her strength. I've seen God's children down through my life. I can tell you over and over again about those that you would have thought would have been everything but happy. But they found happiness when? When they trusted in the Lord. And I'll tell you, just like the Bible says, you'll never trust in the Lord and be ashamed you did it. Those who trust in Him will never be confounded. They'll never make haste. They won't have to run. They can lean on Him. And happy is the man, blessed is the man that knows that joyful sound and that trusts and leans upon the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. I'm telling you, Jesus fulfilled this completely, and God's little children who walk in it will find great joy and peace. That little brother that's trusting in the Lord, that little sister, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There's a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. Y'all believe in a river? I believe in a river. I'm not talking about the Shenandoah River. That's polluted. I'm not talking about the rivers of this world. I'm talking about a river that flows spiritually out of the throne of God. I'm talking about a river that comes down into a little meeting house, and though your body's aching and hurting, your heart is rejoicing and praising God, that feeds the heart and the soul of God's little hungry and thirsty people, that when you hear from His Word, you feel like the Lord Himself is speaking to you, and you feel the hand of God and the peace of God, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And He says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, and that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Those fruit of the Spirit come out of the lives of God's little children as they're blessed by Almighty God from the river of His love and of His grace and of His mercy. His leaf shall not also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We don't know a lot of times what prospering even means. I hear a lot of people talk about prospering. If you read over in the Bible, that people are calling prospering is not true prosperity. What a despairing thing it would be for us to live our entire lives with all of the riches of this world, and then at the very end of time, we find ourselves among the goats, where they hear cursed people, that judgment that falls upon the wicked. Listen, dear little child of God, we're not here to say and scare anyone, but what a great blessing it is that if it were up to us, that's where we would have been. Not come ye blessed of my Father and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, but cursed ye into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And if we had all of the things of this world, what would it mean? I'll tell you what, he's blessed us with so many wonderful things in this world, but the greatest blessing of all is that he's prepared for us a place that one day every one of his children will be. Who are they? Everyone that he loved in covenant before the very foundation of the world. I say to you, if you love him today, it's because he first loved you. Amen. And there's nothing that will ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you can rest in the idea and the thought that one day I'll be with him, then what problem or trouble is too big here in this world? And if you had everything the world had and you didn't have that peace, I say you are in a terrible state. May God bless us as his little children to trust and lean and depend upon him, and you'll be blessed in that. Not worthy of praise. He's worthy of all the praise. But happy and blessed in that he has blessed you. Blessed, blessed is that little child of grace that's so touched by God's mighty, wonderful, powerful hand. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.
174. Sweet. I love you, brother. I enjoyed that preaching very much.